Macmillan Digital Audio and Belinda present this unabridged recording of
No Man's Land, written by David Baldacci, read by Keith Brewer and Orla Cassidy. To the memory of Lynette Cullen, an angel to us all. Puller passed through Richmond, where Linda Demergian was spending her last days in hospice, and continued on south and east. He was in his army-issued black Malibu, which he liked because it had no bells and whistles, just an engine, four wheels, and something to steer it with. He drove fast down Interstate 64 and arrived in Hampton in time to check into a motel and grab a few hours' sleep. He was up with the dawn. He grabbed a cup of coffee and a bagel from the breakfast room in the motel lobby, climbed into his Malibu, and drove on to Fort Monroe. The installation had been decommissioned in 2011. Part of it had recently been designated a national monument by President Obama. It had been named after the fifth president, James Monroe. Surprisingly, the fort had remained in Union hands during the entire American Civil War and was the launch pad for General Grant's successful assaults on Petersburg and the Confederate capital in Richmond that had essentially ended the war. Former Confederate General Robert E. Lee had been quartered here when he was still with the United States Army, and Confederate President Jefferson Davis had been imprisoned at Fort Monroe following the war. A memorial park there bearing his name had subsequently been created in the 1950s. Puller thought it must have been one of the few times a prisoner was honored with his very own park. The fort, at the southern tip of the Virginia Peninsula, had guarded the navigational channel between Hampton Roads and the Chesapeake Bay since the early 1600s. The seven-sided fort was the largest stone fort ever constructed in the United States. It had officially opened and been named Fort Monroe in 1819. The fort was built to prevent any foreign enemy from landing there, marching up the coast to Washington and burning the city down, as the British had done during the War of 1812. Fort Wool was across the channel and had been erected so that crossing fields of fire across the water could be deployed. That meant that ships trying to get through here could not hug one side of the channel in order to escape a pounding from the shore guns. It was all a moot point now. Fort Monroe had never been fired upon in nearly 200 years and had never fallen into enemy hands. And it never would, unless the completely impossible happened and a foreign enemy managed it. Or, thought Puller, if America had another civil war. With the current political climate, he thought that a more likely scenario than the North Koreans coming ashore onto Virginia soil. With the post closing, the Commonwealth of Virginia had been given back much of the land the fort occupied. Most of the residential property had been sold or leased, though the commercial real estate side had been slower to come around.